communion, I'd like to kind of recap. But before I do that, I want to say, a number of us were able to be together during Rhonda's surgery in the waiting room, and it was had great fellowship. She came through that. I mean, whatever we prayed for. I can't think of anything that wasn't answered. And she's out, and I know some of you get the emails, but the surgery was a success, and I'm really actually surprised Rhonda's not here today. She shouldn't be here. She shouldn't have done a bunch of things already, but if you know Rhonda, you're not going to tell Rhonda what to do, but she's very grateful. Her sisters came down, and I know one sister's a believer, one is not. One was, but went through a tragedy that damaged her faith. And so we were all together around her bed before she went into her surgery and prayed, and it was really good. And I know that she knows that you know we're all in this together. So she's doing well. We finished a series on the Great Commandment. It's a series that will always come back in our lives. It's not something you get nailed down. But it's in Matthew 22, 35 through 40, beginning in verse 35. Let's see, where are we? Beginning in verse 34, I guess, if we could get that. But when one of the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love..." We could stop there. You shall love. We were created to love. We are commanded to love. You shall love. And the first allegiance. You know how much we love our families. You love your children. You'd give anything for your children. You'd sacrifice. You know, sleepless nights. All the things that mothers and fathers go through. But he says this, you shall love. And the children are a ex post facto. Children are a gift from the Lord. So our first and primary love is always to the Lord himself. I know that's kindergarten, right? But we forget that every good and perfect thing we have comes down from the Father of lights with whom there's no shifting shadow. Everything good in your life comes from God. And so the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And so for this attorney that's trying to box Jesus in, he's saying the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, all the law, everything is included in these two commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart. And notice that this is not, he doesn't say to love your neighbor with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. He says that about God. Because God is preeminent, and the key in our life is not what he's given us that we're stewarding and worrying about and everything else, and trying to love in that place. That's very important, but it's a byproduct of the essential connection to the Lord himself. We got that? And that, what I'm saying to you, is very, very easy to misplace in the journey. I was talking to somebody about one of my life scriptures is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay, so you could go around in my house and I could probably tell you, well, that happened because of that, all these wonderful stories. As I'm seeking the Lord, seeking his kingdom, and trying to be righteous, not self-righteous, but trying to have integrity and walk this path that is straight and narrow, which we all seek to do, all these things are added unto me. He said the Gentiles are worried about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, you know, all these different things. But he says, don't be like them. He said, seek first the kingdom. And so the byproduct is that many of us start out with not a lot of material possessions, and we seek God and walk with God, and then he gives us all this stuff. So now we have children and cattle and wells and homes, and then we start stressing about stewarding all the stuff he's given us. And somehow we can be robbed of maintaining the seeking heart, which that's why you got it in the first place. You see what I'm saying? How easy it is to get off track. And our heart is the seat of our affection. Mike spoke on that. He did a great job talking about where your treasure is your heart also. If you want to have the greatest parenting advice I could give you would be get to your kids' heart. Get to their heart. If you have their heart, you can deal with all the aberrant behavior that comes down the pike. Marriage wouldn't be much of anything without heart. Many of us have had what we call heart-to-heart conversations. We open up our heart. We want to share our heart. This is this way, but we also need to do this with the Lord himself, always and regularly. To love him with your mind. John spoke about that. And the idea that some believers are mistaken in that they just have to get a couple basic things down and they never need to grow or develop. We're to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, accurately dividing the word of truth. And we're to grow up in all things in him. So John talked about the mind. But when John was talking about the mind, he made a point that you've got to have the heart first. If you lose the heart, then you're in the mind, and then you just become an academic, or you become somebody that knows the Bible better than anybody in this room, but doesn't know the Lord himself. And the third was all your strength and soul. And Matt did a great job talking about that, that the soul is eternal. It's not, you can't kill the soul, it's here. And the soul is the seat of your emotions. And the soul is tied to your volition. To love him with your volition. So when David in Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name, he's literally talking to himself. He's whatever's going on in his life, he's saying, soul, you bless the Lord. I don't care how you feel. I don't care that you feel sorry for yourself. I don't care that everything's going wrong in your life. Soul, you bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And you change. We bring the sacrifice of what into the house of the Lord? Praise is also sacrificial because praise has to get off of our problems and onto him. And praise puts us in a place of praising him for what he's done rather than figuring out what's lacking in our lives. So this commandment is powerful. And the second part of it, we talked about loving our neighbor as ourselves. It's like the golden rule, do unto others as you do unto them. But it can be a humanistic nicety, or it can be something extraordinarily powerful because of God working in us. Loving your neighbor as yourself is not just liking somebody or tolerating them. It's like you're really invested in wanting the very best for them. It even gets to the point of wanting the best for them if you don't like them. Wanting the best for them even if they have treated you poorly. To find a way to love your enemy in the right sense and finding God's grace for that, it takes God. Because what I'm talking about is impossible to do without God. You can do it in a formulaic way. You can do it as a facade. But if it's real, it's going to take God. Okay, John 13, 34 through 35. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll see in Leviticus, this commandment was there, but this is a new commandment. So Jesus is talking to, this is the most important hour in his life because it's the beginning of the Last Supper, and he's John 13, all the way to 17, is his final words at this dinner. And he says, okay, we've been at this 3.5 years. We have, you've seen the dead raised. We've walked on water. Remember feeding the 5,000? That was good. Do you remember the kid that threw himself into the fire, was spitting, and you guys couldn't cast it out, but then we talked about these kind come out with prayer and fasting, and that happened. Yeah, remember the blind man? Yeah. Remember the 10 lepers? Yeah. So all these stories, they got a lot of stories. Remember the storm a couple times. They got a lot of battle stories. So he says, okay, we've had 3.5 years. I'm going away. I'm going to be crucified. They didn't get it. No. Peter had already rebuked the Lord about that. So he says, okay, here we go. I'm giving you a new commandment. New is what? New. That you love one another. That's not new. Here's what's new. Even as I have loved you. That's new. That you also love one another. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know Jesus loves me, I know Jesus loves you, but I know that I don't love you as much as Jesus loves you. Would you? Can we all make that confession? So I feel kind of disobedient to the commandment, but I want to press on towards the upward call in it. God, Lord, help me. Help me do something in me that's beyond myself. John 14:15. One of the proofs of our life, if we love him, he says, if you love me, you'll go to all these countries and witness. Nope. He says, you'll keep my commandments. Love is a byproduct of that. She's doing this out of a position of love to God and to her neighbor as herself. John 15:9-12. I want to just read this. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. So Jesus has this relationship with the Father, the love he has with the Father. He's demonstrated it to his disciples and says, I have loved you. And then he says, abide in my love, which means find yourself in a place of abiding. I don't even know how to explain. I mean, we have a little dog named Oliver. Oliver has a real tough story of how he got to our house. It's a long story, involves many family members. I won't take the time, but he's back at our house. And so last night he jumped up on my lap. Dudley and I were watching a schmaltzy Hallmark movie. He jumped up on my lap. And then he put his head on my chest, and then he put his paw up like this, and he just stared at me. And I said, Dudley, are you watching that? And she says, yeah, he does it to me all the time. But he's abiding. He's just so, all he wanted, and every time I just touch his head, he goes, And, you know, John's the one who said the apostle whom he loved, the one who leaned on Jesus' breast. It's like this abiding thing. And when you feel isolated and you're cut off because life is hard and things aren't going well and everything seems fake, we got to get to that place of abiding again, that abide in his love. It doesn't mean our circumstances change, but I thought, if the Titanic's going down, I'm going down with him. Next verse. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So there's a conditional aspect of obedience. And that's why we can't just do whatever we want in terms of moral choices, that we are accountable to God himself. So just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you so that you'd be really depressed and not have any fun. for joy. Abiding in him is where we get our joy. Loving our neighbor and living sacrificially is where the joy comes. All of you know this. And he says that my joy may be in you. The joy of the Lord is my strength, that your joy may be made full. He's looking for a full joy. One more. This is my commandment. He says it again. We've heard it before. When Jesus emphasizes something, we need to get a hold of this. The next time you take your fate upon yourself and you feel like you have a right to really rip that person to pieces, back up to whose authority you're under and what authority you're operating from. My commandment, his commandment, is that you love one another. And we don't, how do I do that? Just as he's loved me. Well, he went to the cross for me. He speaks to me. He shows me. He gave my life purpose and meaning. He is the author and finisher of my faith. He's the captain of the Lord of hosts. He's the creator of the world. He loves me. Knows when the hairs on my head are falling to the ground. He's there. So later in John, 1 John, he talks about God is love and perfect love casts out fear. The Apostle Paul, who was killing Christians, wrote Corinthians 13 and says, "Goes love is patient, love is kind." It goes through this whole thing. We heard part of it upstairs this morning. Someone was reading it. But love never fails. So the emphasis I'm making this morning is that everything we do needs to be out of love. Simple. If it's not out of love, let's quit. Why? Why do it out of duty? Duty can be an expression of love. Okay? And so everything we do should be done in an attitude of love. It means that our actions from love, that it's sacrificial, it's committed, it's self-denying, it's generous, kind, it's honest. And an agape love, the way Jesus loved us, because there's no inherent value on you or I other than what God puts on you. And so he loves that which is unlovely. And so that's why when you saw the pictures of these unlovely people in these slums, that someone's vision and opportunity and different things, they're going to go and they're going to let the love of God be shed abroad in their heart. And they're going to make a difference. I remember David and Courtney talking about Zambia, where they went into this orphanage, and there was no orphanage there. It was just four walls, and they washed those kids' feet. Many who had never been touched by a white person. And then they were trying to figure out what to do, and they went back and took some of their spending money and found a way. They couldn't find shoes in Zimbabwe, but they found some somehow. And it was the love of God coming to them. And David and Courtney will never see those kids again. It was one moment in time where somebody touched something, and we don't know what God does with it. Many of you have story after story of that, which means that we're now going to matriculate from the Great Commandment to the Great Commission. And that's what I want to be talking about over the next several months, is the Great Commission, which if you go to Matthew 28:16, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, and some were absolutely so committed and believing. Again, this is real people. They were doubtful even though they had seen it all. How many of you, raise your hand if you've really seen at least once in your life God do something amazing? Okay. Raise your hand if at least once in your life you've had some serious doubts. Okay. We qualify, okay? We qualify. They've got them at Notre Dame Cathedral, you know, the halos around them and all that. Just real people. They were doubtful. Go ahead. keep turning. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all, not most. This is for dragon slaying, by the way. You can take a dragon down, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And if you're called to do this and you're commissioned, then the anointing of Almighty God is on you. And when light meets darkness, you are his ambassador of reconciliation, bringing light to a lost and dying world. It's powerful, Rachel. And it's amazing because you know you and I know me, but how God uses us when we let go as vessels of righteousness. So he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Okay, here's the key word, go. We'll stop right there for a second. The other things is love. Well, how do I love? But there's a go message here. And that go message, I think many of us think that that's doing what Rachel's doing or what John and Erica are about to do. Or I've been on many mission trips, and some many of you have. There is that element, but go in terms of geography is that you're a go Christian. After lunch today, you go. It doesn't mean you witness and tell them the four spiritual laws, but you're in the mode, you are his ambassador, and you're going. Okay, you can't be a sit and stay Christian. It's a go word. So go, therefore, and the therefore is there because of all the previous stuff in 28 chapters, and make disciples of most countries, particularly the Western ones, of all the nations, all the ethnos. Do you think they got this? I mean, they didn't even know Africa existed, barely, or Asia. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. So we're going to hit this from different angles. And I want to close with a thought. I'm reading this book, very good book. Who needs a good book to read right now? Barbara? Dave? Okay. This, I'm not going to give it to you, but I will. It's called The Call. It's by Oz Guinness. Okay? And it's very, very good. He says, our primary calling as followers of Christ is by him, to him, and for him. First and foremost, we are called to someone, God, not to something, such as motherhood, politics, or teaching, or to somewhere, such as the inner city or Mongolia, Jim, who's been to Mongolia. Our secondary calling, considering who God, that God is sovereign, is that everywhere, and in everything should think, speak, and live and act entirely for him. We can therefore properly say as a matter of secondary calling that we are called to homemaking or to the practice of law or to art or history. But these and other things are always secondary, never primary calling. Those things are callings rather than calling. They are our personal answer to God's address, our response to God's summons. Secondary callings matter, but only because the primary calling matters most. Is that good? So I'm excited about that. I'm excited that in the weeks ahead, when Jamie comes next week, he's been in Costa Rica, and now he's back in Atlanta, and he's developed a ministry for street kids, and not just street kids, but Latin American kids and Caucasian kids in the inner city. He's now in Atlanta, and he's out here to do some things with his foundation, with the Boy with the Ball, but he's also going to be speaking next Sunday. He's a great friend. Bring a guest. He'd be a great person for you to be inspired by. And then got Mother's Day. Then we're going to have a big cookout in May. It's going to be just a great month. And we're getting ready to do some sending, Rachel and John and Erica. And I think of David Macho. He was one that we saw got sent through Concordia. And God did a lot in your life during that time. It's just amazing. I made a list of countries that this little congregation's been to. It's not to brag, but I'm not going to get them all. But we've been out there: Mexico, Chiapas, Guatemala, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Haiti, Cuba, Peru, Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, and in Africa we've been to Ghana, Kenya, Zambia, South Africa, Namibia, Uganda, Rwanda, Zimbabwe. Been to India, Poland, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Russia, China, Philippines, Sumatra, Australia, Thailand, Mongolia, and Iraq. In this room. And when we get back, what are the countries?
Albania, Turkey, Bulgaria.
Wait, come up here. And John, you come up too. I want you to get your countries. Okay, I'm just saying, now, please hear me. The biggest challenge I have is with my neighbor, Leroy. Okay, I got to go. But this is also exciting to see this kind of go, right? Okay, go ahead, rattle it off.
Okay, I feel like it's a battle. I'll take yours. Battle round.
All right,
so mine are Albania, Turkey, Bulgaria, Romania, South Africa, Swaziland, Botswana, India, Nepal, Mongolia, and China.
All right. So. Okay, John?
I just have a measly 5 months. There's nothing to the 11 months here. But we start in Brazil, and we go to Paraguay, and we go to South Africa, and we go up to Romania, which would be cool. We'll see you there. And then we go down to Turkey as well. We head over to Nepal. Lots of overlap. India. Then we go to Thailand. And Cambodia, and then South Korea.
Thank you.
Yeah.
John won because I'd bring him back up to name the other countries he went to last time. So it's exciting, and I want us to close. The people helping with communion would work their way up, and Pat, as I'm closing, but I just want us to get a hold of the importance of the great commandment working through, Coop, can you grab that table? The Great Commission. The Great Commission working through the Great Commandment. And so, I'll be there, but I would want you to remember about this, the National Day of Prayer. It's a pastor over at Mission Viejo Christian Church who's really taken this on, and I really like him because he has no agenda. It's not about his church, but it was over. It's an absolutely Christian event. I mean, to be in the public square and the city council's up there and Jesus is being glorified, and it's a good experience to be there and to join with him. So that's next Thursday, if you can be there. Let's stand. Where's Matthew?